Welcome into a very special edition of Inside the Bullseye, where really nobody's stepping inside of the bullseye. Well, rather, everybody is stepping inside of the bullseye because it's Pippin and Easy's official playoff prediction podcast. That's right, we are coming at you with the official predictions about who's going where, when the dreams will end, and who's going to come out on top when we hit the June end of this shortened NBA season. I'm Josh Hill, editor over at PippinAin'tEasy.com. Be sure to make Pippin Ain't Easy the place to go for your Bulls news. It's your headquarters for the 2012 Chicago Bulls championship run. Well, hopefully the championship run, because they kick off on Saturday against the Philadelphia 76ers, and hopefully they won't end until June, because if they don't end till June, that means they have a championship that they can put up in the banners in the United Center, and Derrick Rose is going to hoist the trophy and pass it on along to Joakim Noah and Luol Deng and Tom Thibodeau and Gar Foreman, and it's just going to be great. Getting ahead of ourselves, though, just a little bit there. We do that sometimes, or at least I do that. Maybe it's just me. But outside of the Bulls, the playoffs, they start this weekend. Half the games on Saturday, half the games on Sunday. But we're going to be telling you who's going where, starting with the first round predictions, moving on into who we think is going where. Let's start with the Bulls, actually, because that's all we're breaking down on this site at the moment is Bulls-Sixers. We've got plenty of playoff coverage up already. Plenty more to come. Sean O'Connor writes for SixersSense.com. He joined me for an actual Inside the Bullseye where somebody does step in. He stepped in to talk about the 76ers. Expect him back regularly, at least for four games in this series, potentially five, six, maybe not so much seven, but if that happens, well, it happens. Sean O'Connor doesn't believe that it will happen, and he's the Sixers guy. So that should tell you something right there. But Bulls and Sixers, from what I see, is Chicago, there's no way that they lose this series, and that's plain and simple. I think that this is the only series in the first round that there's a bona fide winner before the series even starts. And I don't say that just because I'm a Bulls guy, which you can very easily assume, and it sounds like that to maybe some disgruntled Heat and Knicks fans out there. I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend your feelings. But the Bulls, there's no way that they lose this series against the Sixers. I mean, I talked to Sean O'Connor, and I've also talked to other Sixers writers and people who follow the Sixers. They don't even think that the Sixers are going to win. They think at maximum this series goes to five games. I think that too. I see the Sixers maybe winning one, because when they were the seventh seed last year, they managed to pull a game away from the Heat. But I don't think that there's going to be any more drama involved. I don't even think it's going to be drama. I think it's really just going to be a gimme where the Bulls, maybe something happens with Derrick Rose and he has to, you know, sit down, God forbid, miss some minutes. And then maybe the Sixers, you know, they get reinvigorated and all this and that and they take a game from the Bulls. But that's all that they're going to get, in my opinion. And actually, in the opinion of the greater NBA community, is that the Bulls, they don't lose that series, and really there's nothing more to say about that. Not only because we cover it, that's the series that we're covering the most here at Pippin Ain't Easy. You give free, you know, reasons you can understand. But because it's not really going to be a series at all. The Sixers, they're great, it's nice, they're limping into the playoffs, they're hurt in more than just a physical way, they're hurt mentally. They don't think that they can win. They've lost their confidence when they fell off the top of the Eastern Conference, when they were near the top, back when they beat the Bulls, I believe it was in February. That something happened between then and now to the Sixers, and they don't have any confidence in themselves. And I think that's why this series is not going to be the most dramatic or even the most entertaining series of the first round. I do think that there is a series that will be the most entertaining. We'll get to that, and it's in the Western Conference, by the way. It's not in the Eastern Conference, and it's definitely not this game. It's going to be a quick series. It's going to be one of those that you don't really remember. It's going to be maybe a little bit better than the Pacers series last year, but in that same arena in terms of challenges for the Bulls, not going to be too heavy. The playoffs for the Bulls, in my opinion, it really starts in the second round. Next up on the docket, let's go down seed by seed. Number two seed in the Eastern Conference is the much-hated Miami Heat. They get the seventh-seeded New York Knicks. Second straight year, the Heat knocked down to the 2 seed by the Bulls in the Eastern Conference, and I'm predicting the same outcome that we had last year. Not to say that the Bulls are going to lose, I'm talking about the Heat making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I foresee that happening again, despite what the more excited Knicks fans are trying to say. I don't want to say that Knicks fans are dumb, because they're not. I don't think Knicks fans are dumb. I just think Knicks fans are drunk on their own fandom. And that's a very accurate statement. Because talk to a Knicks fan. If you talk to a Knicks fan, the Knicks should have won the championship, the NBA Finals. From the year that we started all the way up until last year, the Knicks should have won. So if you want to get expert analysis on a series that involves the Knicks, don't ask the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks fans even think the Knicks are going to win series that the Knicks aren't even in. So there's that. Combine that with the Heat have had their number all season. The Heat did not lose to the Knicks at all in the regular season. Yes, the Heat don't have a point guard. Okay, big deal. Where's Jeremy Lin? He's in crutches. He's going to be watching the same way I'm going to be watching, and he's going to be as much of an impact in the series as you and I will be. Jeremy Lin's not playing. Hello, no point guard for the New York Knicks. Who are you going to have? Baron Davis? I'm sorry. Baron Davis, he's great. Love him. He's not going to be the type of point guard that's going to change the game for you. I'm sorry, New York. You think for some reason you're under the impression that you can beat the Heat. And yes, I understand that you can beat the Heat. I'm not saying that it's impossible to beat the Heat. I'm just saying the way that Knicks fans are approaching this, it's inaccurate. And it's coming from a Bulls guy, I mean, taking off the basketball writer hat for a second, putting on my Bulls fan hat, Knicks fans, you're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourselves up for a massive disappointment. Last season, we thought the Bulls were going to sweep their way to the finals and win 4 straight games in the NBA Finals against whoever it may be. As soon as we got the first loss in the playoffs, everything got deflated. Derrick Rose started getting injured and hobbled, and then things just got completely derailed, and they got pounded by the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's because we had insanely high expectations for the Chicago Bulls that nobody could meet. They just grew and grew and grew to this enormous level that the Bulls, they couldn't do it. And it was very sobering to see that. Now, the difference is Bulls fans came out of that this year with a different look at the Bulls. They had a different feeling, and it was a matured look. They looked at it and saw that Chicago needed to improve if they wanted to beat the Heat. Knicks fans, they can get swept by the Heat in this first round series, and they're going to come out saying that the Knicks should have won. Something happened with the referees, you know, and they're going to say the Knicks don't need to change anything. They just need to play the Heat again and they'll beat them, even though they just got beat 4 straight games. Same goes for the Heat fans, all 6 of them. All 6 of those Heat fans are intensely, intensely subscribed to the idea that the Heat are going to get back to the NBA Finals like it's nothing, like it's a breeze, and that's incorrect. And your problems start with the New York Knicks. Not to say that I align myself with the New York Knicks fans and thinking that the Knicks are going to just completely pound the Heat. It's going to be a better series than you think it's going to be, though. Both sides, Heat fans, Knicks fans, they're incorrect in thinking their team is going to sweep this series. Why? Because they're evenly matched. The big three, right now, they're rested, okay? They sat out. They need to get back into it. The Knicks, they need to win. That's the thing. The Knicks need to win. That inspires teams when you have to win like that. And we've seen the Knicks have been able to win. Carmelo Anthony, he wants this to be his team. He's been, you know, rained on. He's got haters all over the place saying Carmelo Anthony isn't a leader. He can't lead a team anywhere. This is Carmelo Anthony's chance. We saw him, you know, last year in the playoffs against the Celtics. It was an okay series. I actually had the Knicks winning that series last year. I'm not going to be so bold this year. I think the Heat will win. But I do think it's going to be a 6 or 7 game series. If you think this series is going to end up like the Bulls-Sixers series, then you're subscribing to the very, very illogical, really, illogical look at this series. Yes, the Heat don't have a point guard. No, the Knicks don't really have one either. But, you know, they'll offset each other. Now you have to look at everything else. Carmelo Anthony, how important is he going to be in this series? That's a question you need to ask yourself. I think it's huge. Carmelo Anthony, how he shows up in this series is really going to determine whether or not this is Carmelo Anthony's team. Amari Stoudemire, he's back. And Tyson Chandler, he's going to be the honorary member of New York's Big Three here because Jeremy Lin's out. Chandler really needs to be the defensive player of the year that I voted him as. Chandler needs to come out, and he needs to play defense. They need to hold the Heat down. It's the same formula that I say the Bulls need when they play the Heat to beat the Heat. Hold down the Big Three. And when I say hold down the Big Three, I really mean hold down two of the Big Three. Hold down Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. Keep them contained. Let LeBron James score 60 points if he wants to. If you hold Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade to 20 points combined, all of a sudden, that's 80 points right there for the Heat. You guys, the Knicks in this case, can score more than that against this Heat bench. The Heat are not deeper than the Big Three, and as soon as teams begin to realize this, they're going to be able to find ways to beat the Heat, but they come at the Heat with this notion that you have to stop all three of the Big Three. Don't do that. Let LeBron James do whatever he wants to do. He's not going to win the game all by himself. Otherwise, he would have had a championship in Cleveland. He didn't do that. Okay? LeBron James can't do it all by himself. Hold him down, or hold down Wade and Bosh. Let LeBron James do whatever he wants. All of a sudden, now you have a Heat team that you can beat. Because it's Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and the Heat bench, which is not very phenomenal, if you ask me. The Knicks, they can beat them. I do think that they can. Do I think they will? I don't. Because somehow, the New York Knicks, they never win. There's always something with the Knicks where something goes wrong. Something's going to happen. The Knicks aren't going to win this series. The Heat will. But it's not going to be a blowout series on either end. The Knicks are not going to sweep the Heat. The Heat are not going to sweep the Knicks. It's going to go 6 or 7 games. And if it doesn't, well, then obviously either the Knicks or the Heat, probably the Knicks, did something wrong in preparing for this series. Yes, you only have Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony, no Jeremy Lin, but big deal. Okay, they closed out the season perfectly fine without Jeremy Lin. They beat the Bulls even with Derrick Rose in the lineup, albeit maybe he was not at, 75%, maybe not even at 50%, but still, they beat the Bulls with Derrick Rose in the lineup. If you can beat the Bulls with Derrick Rose in the lineup, you can beat the Heat if you allow LeBron James to do what he wants. The Knicks, it's completely up to them how they want to play this, but don't expect it to be the type of series that's going to be over very quickly. This is going to be one of those series that maybe is the last series that ends up getting played. I mean, this might be a type of situation where we're waiting for the Knicks and the Heat to finish their series before we can move on with things. So out of this series, the official Pippin Ain't Easy prediction is the Heat are going to win. I'm sorry, Knicks fans. Don't get too, brokenhearted over this. I know you won't, because Knicks fans, they bounce back quick. Make fun of Knicks fans all you want for being ecstatic, for being crazy, for being completely nonsensical about how the game of basketball is played when it comes to New York, the Knicks. They stand by the Knicks. They bounce back, and they're, one of the greatest fans bases in the NBA. I respect Knicks fans. I'm not going to subscribe to your, ideals. You guys are wrong 95% of the time. But I do respect Knicks fans. And in this series, anytime a fan base is playing against the Heat fans, the Knicks, they got that. I mean, if they're going to get one victory out of this, it's that you brought the entire Knick Nation to this. And the Heat brought, all six of the people that aren't in the clubs right now. Flirting with Fergie or whatever they do in South Beach when they're not, watching the Heat. On to the next series we go, down to the Boston Celtics and the Atlanta Hawks. This is a great series. Now I'm passing over the Magic and the Pacers for right now because I'm not all that excited about that series. So I want to talk about Boston and Atlanta right now because I just can't wait any longer to talk about this. Because this is one of your classic 8-9 matchups in the NCAA tournament, March Madness, where it could go either way. This really could go either way. I like the Celtics. I do like the Celtics. They bring everything the Celtics usually bring to the table, which should give them the advantage, but it doesn't give them the advantage. Why? Because they're old now. They are old men playing this game. Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce. They're going to come out guns blazing in this first round, and you better bet your bottom dollar that they will. And that might be why they end up winning this series. Like, I have them winning this series. I don't have them going any further than the second round. Not because they match up with the Bulls, but because they match up with a young team versus an aging team that just used up all of its, you know, the equivalent of its NOS in the Fast and the Furious in the first round of the playoffs to get past the Hawks. Now all of a sudden they're gassed, they're trying to catch up with themselves, and Rajon Rondo can't do it all himself. As much as I would like him to, he's not going to. But when talking about this first round matchup, I don't really see a scenario where the Celtics lose outside of they run out of gas a lot sooner than I thought, or the Hawks are a lot more motivated than I thought. The Hawks are great. I don't think we're going to see a second round rematch like of last year with the Hawks and the Bulls, but I do like the Hawks. I don't want to get down too much on the Hawks because they very much can still win this series. I'm picking the Celtics to win this series, but I'm picking the Celtics to win this series. It's like, you know, 51-49 that the Celtics win this series. I'm not at all confident that the Celtics win. I'm picking them, not confidently, though. Because the Hawks, they play a style of basketball that I think the Celtics might, you know, fall into a couple traps with here. What Atlanta needs to do is they need to gas the older version of the Big Three. They need to take out Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, get them tired, so they don't have to play against the Celtics bench. Anybody can beat that Celtics bench, I think. I mean, in terms of this playoff field. The Celtics bench, not good. Better than the Heat bench, but it's, you know, it's like the 15th best bench in this playoffs, in my opinion. Not a great bench. I don't think that they can bring a whole lot to the table if it comes down to having to play the bench more than Doc Rivers wants to. But then again, we've seen the Celtics pull off crazier things before. What Doc Rivers and the Celtics need to do is stay fresh. We saw this be a problem all season long. I thought it was going to be a problem when I made my predictions before the season started that age does matter, especially in the playoffs. They play a different style of basketball in the playoffs. It's much more intense. It's faster paced. And I think that this is going to be the year. I thought it was going to be last year. And to an extent, it kind of was. It was the beginning of this whole notion I have about the Celtics. That last year I said, the Celtics are great, but when are we going to say this is when the Celtics are running out of gas? This is the turning point where the days where they could win with Garnett, Pierce, and Allen, they're now over, though, you know, turning the page on all of that. I think last year against the Heat in the semifinals was the start of that. Now, we're seeing that advanced into this year where this is the first year where we really look at the Celtics and say, I don't think the Celtics are going to make it very far, which is exactly what I'm saying. But, I mean, other people are saying that. I don't think the Celtics are going to make it very far, which is a very interesting thing to think about given how powerful the Celtics have been in the past. But this was a matter of time. The Celtics, they're running out of time and gas because those two things are intertwined when you have older players on your roster like that. Now, can they get past the Hawks? Like I said, yes, they can. I don't see them getting past the Bulls in the second round of the playoffs. I don't see that happening. The Hawks, that's a little bit of a different story because we saw the Hawks give the Bulls problems last year in the playoffs. I think that those problems that they gave the Bulls, they're going to try to get perfect in the first round. So if and when they face the Bulls, they know exactly what to do to try to, you know, chip away at everything that the Bulls are riding on. What better way to do that than to kind of, you know, pass on the Celtics in the first round, you know, take them out. Now you have that notch on your belt, all right? You've dethroned them from their, you know, playoff dominance out in the first round. Atlanta moved on, and then they face the Bulls, and they have all this confidence and swagger. That's a great scenario. Atlanta has the tools to do it. I just don't see it happening. I think that the Celtics have one last hurrah in them. Get to the semifinals, and then the Bulls kind of, you know, lop them off and say, okay, enough is enough. thanks, but no thanks. So, Celtics, they're winning their series. How many games it goes to? I think this is another one of those games that could go 5 or 6. Maybe not so much 7, very much could. But depending on how things go early, I think either of these two teams might get a little dejected. And they won't really bring everything to the table until one of the teams are down maybe 3-1. And then they have to come back and really kind of fight for it. I don't think that this series is going to be a back-and-forth series. I think it's going to take one team being down to see that and then really kind of kick things up. But Boston comes out of that one, in my opinion. And then the last series in the opening round of the Eastern Conference is the Indiana Pacers and the Orlando Magic. This was a great series until Dwight Howard was out. I mean, there's nothing else to put. There's no other way to put it. It was great when we thought Dwight Howard was going to be in, because he makes the Magic a better team. He makes the Magic magic. The Pacers, though, we saw it last year when they gave the Bulls all that they could give. And it kind of, you know, threw the Bulls off, because you look at how they played in that second round series. That was repercussions from the Pacers, you know, backhanding them so hard in the face that the Bulls were, whoa, sobering and, you know, all this and that. Like I said, the Bulls felt that too. The Pacers, they're a better team than they were last year, and I think that they're going to pound the Orlando Magic into submission and make them really sorry that they were the headlines for so long in the NBA about Dwight Howard. Is he staying? Is he going? You know, he hates Stan Van Gundy. You know, Ryan Anderson can shoot three-pointers in his sleep. The Pacers, no. They're putting an end to that. I think that the Pacers legitimately can meet the Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals. And what better way, because every time the Bulls and the Pacers play, all I can talk about is, ooh, the rivalries, you know, Reggie Miller, Michael Jordan days, and this and that, and what happened, we need to bring that back. What better way to do that than these two teams meeting in the Eastern Conference Finals? I think that that's a very good possibility. Indiana was my team at the beginning of the year that I said, watch them very carefully, because they can come out and they are going to do damage in the Eastern Conference. They did. They moved up from an 8 seed to a 3 seed this year. They are very, very much well primed to not only make it out of the first round, but to take on the Heat and potentially knock off the Heat in the second round, and then make to the Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, I don't want to say anything that might seem too rational, but, you know, watch out. Other than the Bulls, the Pacers are my sleeper team to come out of the Eastern Conference and represent in the NBA Finals. Now, that's my sleeper team. That doesn't mean that I'm going to go off, I'm going to go bet farm on them. But watch them. Watch them carefully. But that really depends, my prediction that they're the sleeper team really depends on how they play in the first round. Because if Orlando gives them problems, then Miami is going to look at that and say, okay, these guys really aren't as rough and tough as we thought they were, and they're actually going to be a little bit easier to beat than we thought. Watch how they play in the first round. If Orlando gives them problems, then the Heat, they're not going to be scared by them. But if the Pacers have one of the better series out of the first-round teams, watch out, because the Heat, they're going to take notice that, especially if New York takes them to 7 games, that's going to drain the Heat a little bit, and then they're going to have to come back. And if the Pacers, you know, win in 4 or win in 5, and they have some time to rest, that's going to be a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a difficult thing for the Heat to deal with, because they're going to have just come off a series where they go 7 games. Then they have to turn around and play a Pacers team that's hard to play to begin with, but they're rested. They've had time to game plan. So pay attention to that. The Pacers, they're, watch them. Just watch them. I could be completely wrong, and I could just be, you know, totally misreading Indiana on this, but watch them. I think the Pacers, they've got something that they might, we might actually get a rematch from last year's first round playoff game. We might get to see that this year. Not betting the form on it, but I would definitely say watch that, because yeah, we've seen stranger things happen in these playoffs before. So, recapping the Eastern Conference, Pippen and Easy's official playoff predictions are Bulls over the Sixers, the Heat are going to take it over the Knicks, the Pacers are going to beat the Magic, and we've got the Boston Celtics over the Atlanta Hawks. On to the Western Conference, breaking down first-round games over there, which is a little foreign to maybe some of the readers of Pippin Ain't Easy, because it's not Eastern Conference-centric. It's, you know, a lot of the games, Western Conference games, they really don't get played until, you know, 9 o'clock Chicago time. So maybe some people got work or school the next day, not so much staying up to watch, you know, the Warriors play the Blazers or something like that. But we've got some really good games in the Western Conference. And my most entertaining game of the first round award is going to a series in the Western Conference. Hopefully I'm not wrong on it. But if this series that I picked to be the most entertaining series isn't entertaining, then I'm not going to be the only one that's disappointed, and I'm not going to be the only one that's wrong in saying that it was supposed to be an interesting and intriguing and very entertaining series. But let's start at the top like we did in the Eastern Conference with the San Antonio Spurs and the Utah Jazz. San Antonio wins the top seed. They tied the Bulls for the best record in the NBA for a second straight year. I think that they are the most unstable of the top four seeds in both the Eastern and Western Conference. And by top four, I mean the 1-2 in the East, 1-2 in the West. I think that the Spurs, out of those four teams, are the most unstable. Because we've seen them struggle in the playoffs before. I'm looking at last year directly. Okay? The Pace, or the Spurs, they're great regular season. We've seen them have success in the playoffs before. But something happens, okay? They're like the San Diego Chargers in the NFL. The Chargers, they regularly make the playoffs, but what do? They're always the Super Bowl favorites. They're always, you know, every year they make the playoffs. This is the year. And they completely flounder when it comes to the playoffs. I see the Spurs, unfortunately, drawing a lot of comparisons in my mind here. Now, this might aggravate some Spurs fans out there that I'm saying this, but don't count out the Spurs. I'm not saying count out the Spurs, like they're going to be the first upset of the playoffs. But I am saying they're not the most stable game that I would want to go ahead and bet on in terms of all the other series that we have with top seeds. Because Utah is coming into these playoffs red hot. Okay, they're riding, I think, a 5-game winning streak. And they're completely the polar opposite of how the Eastern Conference's 8th seed is coming into the playoffs and the Sixers, where they're absolutely abysmal. The Jazz, they have the tools to take on the Spurs. Maybe they won't end up beating them. I personally don't have them beating the Spurs. The Spurs are going to win this series. But don't expect it to be like the Bulls-Sixers series where it's over in 5 or over in 4. Okay, this is a series that might go to 6 games. Because the Jazz, we've seen them have success and they stick around. Okay, the Jazz don't give up. You need proof? Go look at the triple overtime games that they've had. Okay, they stick around and they're deep. You don't stick around in a 3 overtime game if you're riding 3 big players like Miami is. Okay, Miami doesn't survive in a 3 overtime game because they run out of gas in that second overtime. Utah has survived playing 3 overtimes. Okay? I think for that reason that the Spurs really need to take a hard look at how they look at this approach to this series with Utah, because the Jazz, watch out for them. I don't think they're going to win, but I think they're definitely going to give the Spurs a gigantic scare, and it's going to be one of those things where we watch it, and you know it's the lead highlight on SportsCenter where, oh, here go the Spurs. Downward spiral they go because the Utah Jazz are taking them down, and they're, you know, everybody's going to go off on how the Jazz are this Cinderella team, and they're eventually going to lose the series, but it's going to be a nice ride, and it's going to be a very fun series to watch. I think San Antonio wins. I don't think they lose in the first round again, but stranger things have happened, I guess you could say. Utah, they're great. I'm not picking them to win. I'm picking them to just give the San Antonio Spurs a big, big scare. Moving on to the second seed in the Western Conference, the Oklahoma City Thunder taking on the Dallas Mavericks. Thunder, they're winning this series. I love the Mavericks. Actually, I don't love the Mavericks. I'm going to be blatantly honest with you guys. I don't love the Mavericks at all to win this series. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised in the least bit if the Mavericks were swept by the Thunder. And I'm not saying that because I was in favor of a Bulls-Thunder series or finals last year and that, you know, I'm on board with this whole thing that's happening in Oklahoma City. It's great. I love it. Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and all this and that, you know, James Harden, my boy Thabo Sefolosha. It's great what's happening in Oklahoma City. I'm not picking them to sweep the Mavericks because I'm subscribing to some mainstream NBA writer idea that the Thunder are this unstoppable force. I don't think the Thunder are an unstoppable force. If I thought the Thunder were an unstoppable force, I wouldn't have accepted so easily the idea mid-season that I didn't think that they were going to win the Western Conference. They didn't win the Western Conference. They are not an unstoppable force. I'm not picking them to sweep this series because of that. I'm picking them to sweep this series because they're playing the Dallas Mavericks, who are the Western Conference equivalent of the Boston Celtics. They're old, they're going to run out of gas, and the Thunder are too fast, too quick, too good, too talented, and too focused to lose this series. They are scorned. They wanted to win that top seed in the Western Conference. I really don't like it when I hear people say, oh yeah, the Thunder, they didn't want to play the Jazz in the first round, and oh, this and that. Blah, blah, blah. No, the Thunder, when you play in the NBA, you play to win everything, okay? You play to get the top seed. You don't think that the Oklahoma City Thunder wanted home court advantage throughout the Western Conference Finals, inviting people into Oklahoma City where they can't even hear themselves think? That's a stupid thing to think that the Thunder did not want to win the Western Conference for seeding. Give me a break, okay? The Thunder wanted to win, and they're going to take that out on the Mavericks. And the Mavericks, they don't have what it takes to take that punch and give one back. They're going to take that punch, and they're going to break a hip and fall, okay? That's what's happening with Dallas. Don't get me wrong, okay? I don't hate the Dallas Mavericks. I'm not sitting here, you know, demeaning the Dallas Mavericks because I don't like them. Dirk Nowitzki, he's probably up there with my favorite all-time basketball players because of everything he does, the way he plays. He's not a loudmouth. You know, he's not coming out and, you know, trying to make his own brand or anything like that. He plays basketball because he loves basketball, and that's what he gets paid to do. That's not why. I'm not hating on the Mavericks because I hate the Mavericks. They just don't have what it takes to keep up with the Thunder. And that's the bottom line. They're not going to keep up with the Thunder. Maybe they won't sweep. Maybe that was a bold prediction. But don't expect it to go farther than six games. This is not going to be a repeat of the Western Conference Finals of last year. Don't think that for a minute. That's going to be a great storyline coming into this. And it's going to be a nice storyline coming out of it. Where last year, the Mavericks, they topped the Oklahoma City Thunder to get to the NBA Finals. And this year, the Oklahoma City Thunder deliver a return punch, knocking the Dallas Mavericks out of the playoffs and moving on, passing the torch. That's going to be great. ESPN's going to go crazy for that. What's really going to happen is the Mavericks don't have what it takes. They're not the same team that they were last year. The Thunder are better than the team than they were last year. And that's the difference. It begins and ends right there. No allegiances in this game. I don't love or hate more the Thunder or the Mavericks. It's simple mathematics. Take Thunder, apply them to the Mavericks, old, weak, feeble, can't keep up with teams. What do you get? It's natural, okay? Thunder are coming out of that. Excuse me for the rant about that, but there's those that subscribe to ideas in the NBA that are just entirely false and unfounded and that just crazy. Moving on, we have the Denver Nuggets playing the third-seeded Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers, it's going to be a tough playoffs for them again, I think, because it was a tough playoff for them last year. They couldn't beat the Mavericks. They got swept by the Mavericks, in fact, which I loved personally just because I hate the Lakers. Not as much as I hate the Heat. It's more of everybody loves the Lakers. So, you know, what else are you going to do? You're not going to root for the Lakers. The Nuggets, though, I don't want to say that they have the tools necessarily to beat the Lakers. They have the willpower to beat the Lakers. But how far does willpower take you in the NBA playoffs? It takes you to maybe two games over the LA Lakers, and that's it. Lakers, they're going to win this series 4-2. Maybe even 4-1. It's not going to be a sweep. The Nuggets aren't getting swept. They're going to take a game from the Lakers. Just because I like the way that the Nuggets are built. They're a big team. They're a very, very big team. That's going to match up nicely against the Lakers. But when it comes down to it, people have been digging into Kobe Bryant, you know, for missing time during the season. And you know, like the argument I made about the Celtics, where last year I said this is the year that we're going to finally see them run out of gas, and then we're seeing that this year, that this is now the year that that's finally applied. Scratch that with Kobe Bryant. Okay, regular season Kobe Bryant and playoff Kobe Bryant are two entirely different monsters. Regular season Kobe Bryant is playing for seeding. He's playing for home court advantage, playing to beat other teams. Playoff Kobe Bryant is playing to be the best player on the best team in the world. And that's different. There's a little. Can you see that there's different motivation in that? And Kobe Bryant is the type of player that thrives in the playoffs. He's going to want to come back from last year's debacle and really kind of show everybody that, okay, that was a fluke. Kobe Bryant's not going to go out like that. Kobe Bryant's coming back and he's going to, you know, sucker punch some people down for doubting him. And I think that's what's going to happen. The Denver Nuggets, unfortunately, are going to be the punching bag for that. They can take the punches, though. The Nuggets are going to be able to take the punches. They're just not going to be able to return the forcefulness that the Lakers deliver their punches with. It's going to be interesting to see how the Nuggets play this series. They're not going to win, but it's going to be interesting to see if they win one or two. Because if they win two, that means this team really thinks that they could beat the Lakers. If they win one, that means they fought and then they got beat and then, ugh, I'm sorry, we, you know, sorry for playing you, LA. We'll, you know, kind of lay down a little bit here. But if Denver wins two, that means that these guys honestly think that they can beat the Lakers. And that's the way you have to approach the Lakers. You honestly think that you can beat them because they're not the unbeatable force that they used to be. They can be beaten by the Nuggets. No, they're not going to be beaten by the Nuggets. Maybe once or twice in the series, but not overall in the series. LA is going to come out on top of it because Kobe Bryant, he's playing for something. He's playing for the Kobe Bryant brand. The Kobe Bryant brand. That's a tongue twister. The Kobe Bryant brand. It took a big hit last year when he got swept in the Western Conference semifinals. What better way to come back from that than to make yourself presence known in the playoffs right away off the bat? And that's what they're going to do with Denver. Denver's a nice team. I've seen them play a couple times. I've seen them play live a couple times, actually. And I like the way they play, particularly because they're a big team. I just don't know if that's really going to stack up well against the Lakers at the end of the day. On to my favorite series of the first round. I was saving the best for last, folks, because this is the series that, as much as I'm going to be glued to the Bulls game, the Bulls series, I'm going to be extra glued to this one, because this one gets the Pippen in easy, you know, certified most entertaining game of the first round, period. The LA Clippers and the Memphis Grizzlies. Oof, just saying it's giving me goosebumps and making me want to watch. Oof, this is going to be a great series. And if it's not, I'm not going to be the only one that's going to be really bummed out by that. LA, the Clippers, they're coming in exactly how they thought they were going to. We knew at the beginning of the season that the Clippers were going to be a playoff team as soon as they got Chris Paul. Okay? With Chris Paul, actually, tangent on that one. I think the Clippers might have been a playoff team with just Blake Griffin. I don't think they would have been, you know, where they are. I think they maybe would be playing Oklahoma City or maybe even San Antonio right now without Chris Paul. But with Chris Paul, they get the Memphis Grizzlies. So this goes both ways because I love the Clippers and I really like how they look with Chris Paul. The whole Lob City thing maybe kind of fell off when, you know, the Clippers didn't dominate like everybody was wanting them to. But they're still a very forceful team. And they're still very dangerous. And you have to watch them. The Clippers, They want to win. How long has it been since the Clippers have won? Something always happens. And this year, if it doesn't happen, I'm gonna take a guess right now as to what it was that contributed to the downfall of the Los Angeles Clippers. And it rhymes with Vinny Del Negro. Yeah. Vinny Del Negro, he's going to be the reason that the Clippers don't succeed in the playoffs, if they don't succeed. I could be completely wrong about Vinny, okay? But when he was in Chicago, I was not the biggest Vinny Del Negro fan. You know, I was not leading the Vinny Del Negro fan chants in the United Center. You know, all five people that were up in the nosebleeds in the madhouse shouting for Vinny. No. The Vinny Del Negro fan group, not very big. Because Vinny Del Negro is not a very overwhelming coach. He's very, very much kind of eh. And we've seen that with Chris Paul. Chris Paul should be headlining the NBA. He's, in my opinion, the best or the second best point guard in all of basketball. This, and, you know, with Derrick Rose's injuries, he should be, you know, right up there, best point guard in all of basketball. Because he's one of the top five best players in the game today. So, that's just a little idea of how much Vinny Del Negro brings down a team. Is when you have Chris Paul on your team, and you have Blake Griffin on your team, and people are like, oh yeah, the Clippers. Yeah, I've heard of them. No! You've got Chris Paul, you've got Blake Griffin, you've got, you know, this awesome force that should be happening with the Clippers. But Vinny Del Negro doesn't know how to coach it. He didn't know how to coach Derrick Rose. Case in point being, Tom Thibodeau walks into this job in Chicago after being an assistant coach with the Celtics. No head coaching experience whatsoever. Walks into this job, instantly motivates Derrick Rose, and what happens? 62 wins, Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since Michael Jordan, MVP, Coach of the Year, reinvigorated team, top seed in the NBA, top seed in the Eastern Conference, with the same team that Vinny Del Negro had, minus Carlos Boozer and the bench mob. Granted that those are gigantic pieces, I guess when you say that out loud, it kind of, you know, takes away from the whole point of the thing. But, you know, of the starting five for Chicago, all Tom Thibodeau did was add Carlos Boozer. And when I say add Carlos Boozer, that doesn't have a whole lot of weight to it because he likes to disappear about this time of year. So Vinny Del Negro had basically the same team in Chicago and was literally, you don't get more average than having a 500 record. That's the definition of average. That is average. And that's what he did with Chicago. Tom Thibodeau steps in and boom. Best team in the NBA two straight years. So that's the problem with the Clippers. They're going to have to win despite Vinny Del Negro being there. And I know that's a Vinny Del Negro rant, and I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go on a Vinny Del Negro rant, but that's what happens. I don't like him because he's not a good coach. And that might be the reason why the Clippers end up losing this series. The Memphis Grizzlies, on the other hand, were just about everybody and their grandma's sleeper team to come out of the NBA and be one of the most improved teams. So, not a big surprise that they make it to the playoffs, and it's definitely not a big surprise that they're in the most entertaining series of the playoffs, because they get the Clippers, a team they very much can beat, and then all of a sudden, things start happening for Memphis. What they need to do is they need to take Chris Paul and kind of fluster him a little bit. You don't necessarily have to take Chris Paul out of the game, you just have to maintain him. Blake Griffin, he's going to slam dunk on you, but why don't you go ahead and foul Blake Griffin constantly with different people. Every time Blake Griffin has the ball, throw him a foul. He's going to go to the free throw line. He's going to brick both of those free throws. And right there, same with DeAndre Jordan. Send DeAndre Jordan to the free throw line. He's not going to make anything. So this is going to be the strategy that Memphis Grizzlies are going to have to approach the LA Clippers with. Play them for their weaknesses. DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, they're not making shots at the free throw line. So send them there. Make them earn those points and take them away from LA. Chris Paul, he's going to really kind of break out in the postseason, I think. And if there's a time to do it, that's the perfect time to do it. He was the reason that the Hornets made it to the playoffs last year. He's back. He has a better team. And I think he has a better chance of moving on in the playoffs. He's clutch. Like I said, one of the top five players in the NBA today. And we're going to see that really shine in this series. Because if Chris Paul doesn't come to bat in this series, if he's really kind of, you know, kind of gliding through this and maybe hoping Vinny Del Negro doesn't come back next year, I'm going to lose a lot of respect for Chris Paul. Because he needs to step up. Like I said, win in spite of Vinny Del Negro. What better way to do that than to completely invest the team into you? I mean, if you're really one of the top five players in the NBA, you should win regardless. The Memphis Grizzlies, they're well-rounded. I like how they play. The LA Clippers, also, maybe not as well-rounded, but I like how they play. They've got something going. Now, who wins the series? It's really going to kill me to try to pick here. Like I said, in the Eastern Conference with Boston and Atlanta, this one's not 51-49. This one's dead on 50-50. But I'm going to go with the LA Clippers on this one. I'm not going to go with everybody's Memphis Grizzlies pick. I think that they can win. And if they do win, it's not going to be a thing where I'm like, oh, my goodness, the Memphis Grizzlies, they won. It's not going to be a surprise at all. Whoever wins this series is going to get a nod of, you know, acknowledgement, followed by, ooh, that was a great series. That's how this series should be played. I think it's going 7 games. I think it's going to be a back-and-forth series. And if the Knicks and Heat game isn't the last game that we're waiting to be finished so we can move on with the playoffs, it's going to be this series. I'm very excited about this series. I can't wait to watch it. I'm going to be watching every second of it so intensely. I just want it to start right now. So, out of that game, I'm going with the LA Clippers, but it's 50-50. And if the Grizzlies end up winning the series, I'm not going to be entirely shocked by it. So, recapping the Western Conference, we've got the San Antonio Spurs over the Utah Jazz, the Oklahoma City Thunder topping the old and not so impressive Dallas Mavericks. We've got the LA Lakers over the Denver Nuggets, and we've got the LA Clippers over the Memphis Grizzlies. So not a whole lot of upsets, you know, in the Western Conference, and really not a whole lot of upsets in the Eastern Conference, because this isn't like March Madness where you just get lucky and all of a sudden you have, you know, a 12 seed moving on. No. If March Madness was built like the NBA, you would have no lower seeds moving on, or very few lower seeds moving on, because this is not a win-in-the-moment type of environment. This is a win-win-win and then win-again type of environment. And if you can't maintain consistency in the playoffs, you're not going to go anywhere. So to pick higher seeds in the NBA playoffs, it's not entirely a bad thing to do, because they're not the higher seeds for no reason. Upset watch, so a little blurb on games or series that could be potential upsets. I see the New York Knicks series being a potential upset, with the Knicks topping the Heat. And also in the Eastern Conference, I see the Hawks potentially beating the Boston Celtics. And interestingly enough, the Hawks have a better record than the Celtics. But because the Celtics won their division, the Hawks not so much get that seed. So Eastern Conference upset watch, I would say, would be the Knicks over the Heat and the Hawks over the Celtics. Western Conference upset watch, I pick the Jazz over the San Antonio Spurs, because I like the way the Jazz are built. I like how they've been playing as of late. Al Jefferson really kind of becoming a star player on that team after years of kind of being waiting, or kind of years of us waiting for him to get to this point. Al Jefferson's kind of finally there. So upset watch would be Jazz over the Spurs. And then also upset watch would be, and this isn't much of an upset watch, I really hate to attach the upset watch to this game. It's more or less Josh Hill covering his own ass type of game. But the Grizzlies over the Clippers would be my other upset slash, you know, covering all my bases pick in the Western Conference. So that's the first round of the NBA playoffs, how we think it's going to stack up, at least according to PippinAin'tEasy.com. Check out the site all playoffs long. Even if you're not a Bulls fan, we cater to every need of playoff teams and playoff fans. We got you covered. We've got Eastern Conference and Western Conference brackets up on the site that will be updated literally as the games are going on. We'll have analysis throughout the playoffs. Caleb Norgarden is joining the site. He's going to be our NBA correspondent. He's going to be breaking down games for you throughout the playoffs. That's starting March 5th. He joins the Pippin Ain't Easy family. We've also got everything you need in terms of the Bulls. I mean, it's a given. If you love the Bulls, you're going to find everything that you need to know on the site, on Pippin Ain't Easy. Follow us on Twitter at BullsBeatBlog. Updated daily, hourly, with loads of Bulls information, nuggets, and everything like that. We love to have you read. We love to have you follow. Pippin Ain't Easy's got you covered. Western Conference, Eastern Conference, all playoff long. And the whole entire fan-sided network has you covered all playoff long. I mean, we've got all the teams that are in the playoffs. All of them have great, great, great sites on fan-sided. I mean, Andrew Kennedy over at the Thunder's Intentions with the Thunder. We've got, you know, I could gush for another, you know, half hour about how awesome that sites are run if you're an NBA fan for you to go to these sites. It's, you know, playoff time, it just gets you all worked up about this. So, PippinAin'tEasy.com's got you covered. Search for us on iTunes as well. This podcast, hopefully you're listening to it through iTunes, but you might be listening to it on the site. But if you're listening to it on the site, go ahead and click the link right above my voice. I'm pointing, too. If you can't see, well, of course you can't see, but I'm pointing at the ceiling. Click that link right up there. Add us in iTunes. Also, visit the show page, the Podbean show page. Right on the corner, or on the side of the page, there is the Add to iTunes. This isn't going to take you to the iTunes store if you click this. Rather, it's going to bypass the iTunes store, and it's going to download it directly into your podcast section of your iTunes library. So that's another way to do it if it's not downloading. And iTunes doesn't always update right away either. It takes a couple hours for iTunes to update. So the best way to see if the podcast is available to put on your iPod, iTouch, iPhone, iPad, Apple Pro, whatever, check the Podbean show page. How you'll know the podcast is available is obviously you'll be listening to my voice on the site. I'm Pippin Ain't Easy in our cool little media player. That means that the podcast is available, obviously, because it's recorded and you're listening to it. But if it's not available in the iTunes store, go to the Podbean show page and add it directly to your iTunes library, because whatever's the latest, newest thing that's out, it will guarantee download to your iTunes library if you click on the Podbean link and hit the Add to iTunes button when you get to that site. You're guaranteed to get the latest episode, even if it's not in the iTunes store yet. So that's a quick little blurb about that. Also, if you have an iTouch, an iPad, I think even Android Market has this as well, search Pippin Ain't Easy in the apps. We also have an app where you can download it, and then it updates you with not just the podcasts, but the stories as well. The actual stories that we have on Pippin Ain't Easy, because we got a great staff at Pippin Ain't Easy. I mean, we're one of the best Bulls sites out there. Not to toot our own horn or anything like that, but it's not just, you know, I'm not just saying this because, you know, I'm the editor of the site. I'm saying this because we got a lot of great writers on this site. I mean, we're stacked. We've got great writers. I'm really proud of my staff. They've hung through there all season long, and then we do it all for you guys. Okay, and we're sending out personal thank yous via the Twitter feed and all this and that, but directly, if you either missed it or haven't gotten one yet, I want you to hear it directly from me, editor Josh Hill, PippinAin'tEasy.com. Thank you. very, very much for being a follower or reader of Pippin Ain't Easy. Because at the end of the day, really, you guys are the ones that make it worth it. I mean, I don't want to sit here and, you know, like, hold your hand, look deep into your eyes, and tell you lovely poems. I don't want to, you know, make it sound like I'm doing that. If you want me to, I will. But what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, what we do, writing about the Chicago Bulls, it's completely pointless unless you guys are as invested as you are in the Chicago Bulls. You love the Bulls, you bleed the Bulls, you eat the Bulls, smell the Bulls, everything. Well, careful when you smell the Bulls. But you guys love the Bulls. And that, we look at that, and not only do the players feed off of it when they're inside the United Center and they hear you screaming at the top of your lungs, cheering them on, that motivates us, the writers, too, because we know that there's a fan base out there, and we know that you guys are going to read it, you guys are going to react to it, and, you know, you guys are going to enjoy it. Love it or hate it, agree with it, disagree with it, you guys really make it worth it. At the end of the day, being a sports writer and covering the Chicago Bulls, speaking personally for myself, and I know I'm speaking for my staff as well, but hearing it directly from me, you guys make it worth it. And thank you. I cannot thank you enough for making me love my job oh so much. Because without you guys, it's nothing. I'm writing for absolutely nobody. Same goes for all of my friends at the Chicago Tribune and my colleagues over at the Sun-Times and Bulls blogs everywhere. Not just Pippin Ain't Easy, but Bulls writers everywhere and sports writers. A gigantic thank you to you, the fans, because you guys make it worth it. And without you, I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably have to be a teacher or something. God, I don't even know what I'd want to do. You don't even get me to think of what I would do if I couldn't be a sports writer for you guys, because you guys make it worth it. So thank you very much. Stick to Pippin Ain't Easy. We've got you covered all playoffs long, because we're not going to bail on you when it gets good. The going's great right now. So PippinAin'tEasy.com is your place to go. We'll have a text version of our official NBA playoff predictions up later today. Bulls and the Sixers, we've got podcasts coming all series long. We got you covered, so stick to us. PippinAin'tEasy.com is your place to go for Bulls action. I'm Josh Hill. Those are the playoff predictions for Pippin Ain't Easy. Stick to it. We love you guys. Thank you so much for being readers, fans, and followers. And keep it up, because we're not going to let up and we're not going to stop. So thank you so much. PippinAin'tEasy.com, search in iTunes, this and that. You guys know the drill. It's Pippin Ain't Easy Radio Network, folks. We'll see you at the flip side after Game 1 with news and analysis on your home for Chicago Bulls news, PippinAin'tEasy.com.